What's up, my freaks, sharpness geeks, and purveyors of stabby goodness? Welcome to the Knife Freak Show. My name is Jonathan McNeese. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Chase Boatwright.
How are we doing today, guys?
I'm doing good. Hope everybody out there is doing good. Well, so this is the Monday after Christmas before New Year's, right?
Yes. I think it's Monday. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm totally messed up.
Yeah.
So, guys, we recorded an episode last week to have a Christmas episode, and apparently we were on the naughty list because it just totally glitched out on us. We could not get it to work and repair it, and so we didn't have a chance to re-record it with the holiday and everything going on. So here we are a week later. We had, I think, a pretty good conversation. We're essentially going to try to kind of essentially redo the same conversation. We did have some Christmas stuff thrown in there. Yeah. We're gonna hit one or two little things about that, and we can then kind of give you a little look back on what happened with some of the stuff. So I think we'll still talk about Christmas a little bit, but it won't quite be the same. We'll wish you a belated Merry Christmas. So we hope you all had a great Christmas and got some cool knives and all the good stuff. So
indeed.
What have we got first up on the agenda? Some news?
Indeed, yes. We have news, and because I'm a slacker, I failed to pull it up beforehand.
That's all right. Yeah. While you're looking for it, I'll just tell them, you know, we talked about Crucible being in the news last week. Crucible Industries potentially closing down. They were looking for a buyer or potentially going to file bankruptcy, so we were just bringing you a little update on that.
Come on, man. My phone's not working.
It's all good. You can just recap what you remember if you want to. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, oh yeah, there it is. I got it now. All right. Crucible Industries steel plant to be sold early next year is the title of the headline from Syracuse.com, and it's basically that Crucible, the maker of MagnaCut, of all of the S-series steels, you know, S90, S30, S35, S45, Crewware,
everything with CPM in front of it.
Yes, all that.
And then a little more. Yeah.
All that stuff that we like and we use and all that stuff is going to be purchased by Era Steel. So that's ERA Steel, a Paris-based steel maker with operations in multiple countries. So I'm hoping that means that they will keep the actual plant open in New York and in the U.S. and all that. But
now, has something changed since last week, or is it that that company had made a bid on it and they were up for auction and they were just one of the bidders? Am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, I may have the wrong article. I don't know.
Well, it could be something may have changed since then.
No, yeah. I mean,
I remember last week we were saying that they were up for auction and that company had bid on them.
Yes. Yeah. Basically that. Yeah. This article's kind of putting it cut and dry, so maybe
a done deal.
One bid has already been submitted, and that's Era Steel. Okay, so that okay. Yeah, you're right.
So they may or may not end up being the ones that get it, but
yeah. But they're supposed to be auctioned off early at the beginning of beginning of 2025.
Right, and very soon.
Yeah, very very soon. Yeah. So
sounds like then if that company has plants all over the world and stuff, they could buy them and keep making the same stuff that they've been making. They also could buy them and they just become another of their plants that makes their product, and that's that.
Yeah. So but they're buying both the steel plant and the intellectual property. So
I don't feel
like they would sit on, like, the bid was for both. So I don't feel like they would just sit on, you know, those.
They got a lot of
things, but
yeah,
I could be wrong. I don't
know. They do have intellectual, like we talked about in the previous episode about Crucible, the cutlery industry is a small part of their business. So
yeah,
whether or not we're important enough to the new company to make the cut, pun intended, would be, we'll see. So, but like we said,
there's gotta be somebody out there that would want to utilize majority.
It might just be them licensing it,
Yeah, I mean, it could be. They could, license it to Niagara or somebody like that and just say, hey, keep doing what you're doing,
Right.
And I don't know.
All we can do is wait and see.
Yeah, basically.
I ain't got the money to buy them, so.
Yeah. unfortunately. That'd be real cool, though.
It'd be pretty cool if somebody in the knife industry could, that would, and then turn into just strictly knife steel stuff. That would be pretty cool.
That, I was sort of thinking the same thing. That'd be really, you know, interesting to see, like, a, you know, sort of homegrown, just a steel business for the knife industry, you know, not necessarily, right, you know, from the ground up, but, like, you know, just sort of take over and solely focus on that. But I don't know if that's profitable enough, like we said, you know, I don't, a couple weeks ago. So,
yeah,
but anyway, yeah, so that's what's going on with Crucible. They're set to be up for auction early in 2025, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, either way, I don't think this is, you know, a steel apocalypse. I don't think, you know, knives aren't going anywhere. We're here to stay, in case y'all were wondering. So,
well, and I'm pretty sure that like we talked about before, even if MagnaCut, by the name MagnaCut, goes away, I'm pretty confident that somebody else will be making essentially the same steel by another name or whatever. So this is all just speculation on our part, but that's what I feel will happen.
So I agree.
I think it'll all come out in the wash.
Do what?
I think it'll all come out in the wash. Maybe a little short on, you know, hard to get for a little bit or whatever, but I think everything will be fine. So
the other little piece of news that I had was a new knife brand, and it's not necessarily a new maker. It is from Medford Knives, and they are launching a line called Main Street Knives. And basically all of these knives in this price bracket are going to be in the $200-ish price range, all American made, because it's Medford. And if it was otherwise, he might have a stroke. I don't know. But
rightfully so.
Yeah. But includes both folders and fixed blades. Got some got a really cool trench knife, and also a bunch of folders that are, you know, they're lockback, they're G10 scales, but they're S45VN steel. So I mean, it's gonna be just straight performing knife. It may not be, you know, your favorite flipper or your favorite
And bare bones.
But it's a good addition to the market, I think, as far as an American made, you know, sort of budget ish price.
I feel like it should be. I mean, I think that's I definitely think it's a good idea. We'll see how the market reacts to it. I feel like it's you know, everybody wants the super cool knife that they can, you know, that they can't get. And it's super expensive at a cheap price point, and until it's at a cheap price point anyway. And then all of a sudden nobody wants it anymore because has less perceived value, but that's a topic for another day.
You just went off on a tangent there, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry. It's hard not to. But I do think there's definitely a place for, you know, for a budget line that's still done in the U.S., still done the right way, and, you know, sticking to your principles. That's I definitely commend them for doing that. That's a great, I've been thinking some things along that line myself, and eventually we may had too many other things going to be able to put too much attention on it, but I definitely think that is a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. I just, you know, one of those things that popped up in my email feed that I just thought was sort of worth sharing, and, you know.
Yeah. I saw it briefly too, and I didn't see all the models, but I took a glance at it.
Yeah,
pretty interesting. I'll be really curious to see how it goes. I hope it does great. I hope they sell a ton of them. So,
I agree.
That's great. Yep.
All right.
So I believe we also talked about wanting to have add an occasional little section where we do a maker spotlight on somebody that's caught our eye or whatever, just another friend or fellow knife maker, artisan, whatever. So you had somebody that you had caught your eye and been on your radar for a little bit. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Yeah. Not necessarily anybody I've ever talked to. I've just admired from afar and, you know, appreciated his work on Instagram. And that is Cones Craft, or I believe it's pronounced cone, but it's KoenSCraft. Man by the name of Morgan, from what I can gather. But he just makes very big, very angry fixed blades, as it were. We're keeping it PG, and they are gnarly. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are. They're very good. They're
beautifully executed and beautiful in their intent also. And it's just, you know, unapologetic in it, what it is. And it's just exceptionalism in a craft. And I admire it greatly. Just, you know, that's one of the things about being a maker. Like, since I've become a knife maker, I admire things differently than as a collector, I think. Just seeing somebody excel, you know, to the nth degree at what they like doing excites me a lot. Even if I don't particularly care for that style of knife, I don't make a lot of big knives, but, and you know, cause that's not my jam, but I love seeing other people do it and do it very well.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It gives you a different appreciation for it. Once you've done stuff, like you do see it with a different perspective, because you start to appreciate some of the finer points of, you know, you just see things with a different detail, a different eye that, you know, you know, hey, that's like what they just did right there. That is not easy to do. Or I don't even know how they did that. Like that grind was not easy to pull off or whatever, you know, like that's, it definitely gives you a completely different appreciation for it than just, being a knife collector or whatever. So not better or worse. It's just, it is different, just a different perspective.
It's just different. So, I mean, I thought I knew everything under the sun when I was a knife collector, and I'm sure Jonathan can attest to that. You know, when I walked in this shop,
you didn't know a lot. I'll give you credit.
I'm a little bit, I don't know, pedantic, I guess is the right word, but, So anyway, just wanted to shout out Cones Craft once again. Just go give him a follow, check out what he's doing, and keep up the great work. And
Very cool work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Awesome.
So the next thing we did is kind of late because of the episode that never was, because, you know, computer glitches and whatnot. I think it was my internet connection decided to die on me, as you know, gave us,
yeah, it happens,
killed our technology episode. But anyway, but what we called this next segment is Santa in Alabama, because if you didn't know, both of us are in Alabama, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, I guess we've never technically mentioned that. So
yeah, I just thought about that. But so the question is for the segment is, if you had a, you know, Christmas wish for, you know, basically anything you want for both the shop and for yourself, because I know you're like me, and if we could have one thing, we would just get something for the shop, because that's what we do. And that's so I wanted to separate that and kind of have us, you know, a little bit of something for both of us, or, you know, both personalities, I guess.
Right.
But you can lead off if you'd like.
All right. So keep it pretty short, since I had time to think about it, since, you know, we did it last week. So now I'm just giving that same answer I gave last week. So for the shop, I would have to go with probably a 5-axis mill. So that would open up some doors for us. I would have to learn how to use it. Have no idea how to even program a 5-axis or anything else, but I didn't know how to program or turn on a 3-axis when I got that. So we'd figure it out.
This is true.
But, pretty cut and dry there. A nice 5-axis mill would be really nice. let's toss it back over to you to do your shop thing, and then we'll do the personal stuff.
All right. Yeah. I guess I'm basically, you know, going to repeat myself as well. Not that you guys know about it, but I would go with a Haas mini mill too. Just a 3-axis would be fine enough for me. You know, I'm not fancy like Mr. 5-axis over there. But then again,
Be able to mess up more stuff.
Yeah, this is true. It's a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would, I think a mill was in my future at some point, just, to improve repeatability and efficiency and all the things that CNCs do. And, you know, I think that would be, if I could punch one thing, I would probably be it.
Yeah. So that's not a bad choice. So both of us wanting CNCs, that's not definitely, really that unexpected.
No,
all right. Yeah. So on the personal side, you did call me out on it last time, and it does end up being a little bit on the slightly business purchased kind of too.
I didn't like the answer though.
Yeah. So, my answer for the personal side, you know, no limits, whatever I want. I think I'd want a monster truck. So I'd love to have my own monster truck, have it branded with the company logo down the side of it, the whole works. So that's where it's a little cheated a little bit. It is still kind of for the business. Like you said, it's really hard to separate the two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think McNeese Knives needs a monster truck. I believe that needs to happen. So,
right.
Spoiler alert, Santa didn't bring me a monster truck or a five axis since this is after Christmas. So it's all good, but it's still something to shoot for on the horizon.
Definitely. You know, if you need help talking Amy into it, you can count my vote in your corner. I don't know if that counts for much.
All I'd have to do is take her for a ride in one time. Well, it could go either way. She would either love it so much that she would definitely want to let me get one, or it would scare her so bad that she would never want to ride with me again. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think it might tend one towards the other, one more towards the other.
Considering my driving, probably so.
Yeah. But for me, I guess for what I would get for myself, I struggled with this last time too. And even though I've had 10 days to think of another answer, I haven't done it yet. I would like an AR-15. I don't have one.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a ton of guns. I'm not a super gun guy. I've got a few, but I
here
just,
you go.
You know, hey.
Reach up, just. Sorry, it was right there. I couldn't resist. If we were really tech wizards, see, I would have like handed it to you through the screen, and you could have the magic of technology.
Yeah,
but sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your wish list there.
You're good. We're not too good with the whole magic of technology, we've noted before. But yeah, just something simple. I mean, I feel like I just need to add one to my collection at some point. So,
yep, I feel like you do too. Yeah. When you get ready to, if you really want to, since you're not just, don't just think generic, you might, if you're going to wish, you might as well wish big. So check out a company named Q. I know that sounds weird, but Q, they're Unpossible by Q on Instagram. They make some really cool ARs.
Just the letter or?
Just the letter Q.
Okay.
Yep. And they are absolutely, as you can kind of tell by the name, because it makes you talk about it, they are phenomenal at marketing and stuff. So they're worth following and checking out just to learn stuff about marketing and stuff. Because if you watch what they do, like they're really smart, really good at marketing.
Gotcha.
So you've probably heard of the Honey Badger, the AR that's called the Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're the ones that made the Honey Badger make the Badger, came up with it. So anyway.
Gotcha. Okay. But, yeah, I'm really not super familiar with guns. I just, I kind of know a little bit, not a lot, but that's something I would like to fix at some point when my income would allow it.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, it's a whole nother addiction.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game to get into. So
yeah. All right. So since this last week we weren't able to do, we gave our wish list, but obviously Christmas hadn't happened yet, so we didn't know what we got. So without getting too in depth, what's a thing or two that you got that you are pretty excited about?
One thing is something that my lovely wife got for me is a
nice
called the FU pen from Maverick Customs.
Very cool.
Flipper Universal pen. Hey, I did the thing.
It's focusing a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. But it's got a cool little micarta flipper tab or cam mechanism thing, and made of brass. It's very cool, and it writes really nice. So that's one thing. And the other thing, I finally got an Open L.
Oh, I
always
cool.
wanted an Open L, and they're not super expensive, but it's just one of those knives that I never bought for myself because it was super inexpensive basically. And so I just always wanted one and never had one. And so my sister-in-law and brother-in-law got that for me. So those are my two things I was most excited about.
Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, let's see. I had several cool things. I think honestly, the thing that I, so far at least, that I've used that I enjoy the most, it was literally a stocking stuffer. My wife got me a little, keychain flashlight by Streamlight. I don't know the model number or anything. It's just kind of like a little triangular shaped thing. And I love it. I've already ordered two more. I liked it so much. So our power went out a couple of nights ago. A storm came through, and like, I've got multiple flashlights. I've got, you know, several flashlights, some pretty expensive flashlights, but this thing is just so small and so light and so handy. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's got at least two brightness levels. And I don't know how many lumens it is, but it's pretty bright for just a little keychain flashlight. It's just a simple operation. It's just got a little push button. You know, you don't have to twist it. You don't have to do anything. You can just, so like when I was bumping around the house in the dark and stuff like that, or taking the dogs out at night or whatever out in the backyard, it's just super handy, man. So I'm going to put one on all my keychains and probably get one to carry in my pocket too, for when I'm not wanting to carry a full size, you know, bulkier light. Just super cool. It's kind of crazy she got me a lot of cool stuff, but that was probably the thing that I've gravitated towards the most.
Yeah. That sounds like something that I would kind of gravitate towards as well. Cool. I love a, you know, super handy little light, you know,
I like it. Streamlight's pretty good company. So,
yeah.
I do wish they were. I don't think their stuff is all made in the US. So other than that.
Yeah. I don't think so, but I could be wrong, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's not. So wish it was, but other than that, it's still really cool light. So yeah. Very cool. And actually, here, quick little thing. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Four Christmases.
Yes.
It's a Christmas movie with Vince Vaughn. And yeah. So I actually got her a flashlight too, because we just got a new vehicle and I wanted to have a new flashlight to go in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And it's a little Surefire flashlight. Anyway, she opened it and she was like, the line of that movie's like, "You got me a flashlight?" With a little kid, like, gets the flashlight and then he starts taking his clothes off and streaking and stuff. And I was like, "Well, yeah, now you got to go streaking. Sorry." That didn't happen, though. She didn't go streaking.
Sure.
Yeah, but anyway. We both ended up getting flashlights for each other for Christmas. And so it was pretty funny.
What happens in Lamar County stays in Lamar County. I got it.
Well, honestly, you could streak at our house and nobody would know anyway. No one would know. Yeah. Right. It's not like there's anybody going to see you. Yeah. So. All right, so that's kind of got the Christmas stuff, I guess, out of the way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I got some other stuff, but, you know, keep it knife-centric. I don't.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I got lots of cool stuff, but the one thing I've actually used so far, or main thing, is a little light.
Yeah, you'll have to send me a picture of that or something.
Yeah, I will. I wasn't prepared this time. I didn't even know I was going to talk about that light, but we'd really need to do a better job of starting to, like, have stuff to add links, or even figure out how to put the, maybe in the video, edit in a shot of it up in the corner or whatever over my face or something while we're talking about stuff. But
I'd have to figure
right now out. We're doing good just to get them recorded and on the air. So, and actually on there. So we won't get too crazy here. So what do we have next on the agenda?
Next, we have our questions segment. So we got a few questions over the past few weeks. One of the questions I got was, "Hey, when are you going to record another episode?" And I, you know, explained the whole thing about, "Hey, we did, and then it died." But the few that we had written down, first one is from Mr. BaconSwagFL on Instagram, and his question is about body odor at Blade Show. Why?
Because it's freaking hot in Atlanta in June.
Mostly that. Yeah. I think, you know, a little bit of grace needs to be shown and a little bit of forgiveness needs to be shown in the fact that people are standing outside in Atlanta in June, and that is not a cool environment whatsoever. So
it is not. Plus, who wants to waste money on deodorant when you've got knives to buy? I mean, come on now.
That too.
But I mean, you know, yeah,
some people's personal hygiene needs work, but I think you could say that about any general population at all. So
anywhere you go where you're in a crowd, especially in the South in the summer, you're gonna run into some of that. So be great if people would do a little better about it, but to be honest with you, I've never had a major problem with it. You know, like we talked about, the vast majority of my time at Blade Show is spent behind the table or a booth, and you've got a little more separation there. You're not like literally shoulder to shoulder with people. So I've never really had that much of an issue with it. So but I have heard a lot of people complaining about it. So I know it's a thing, but
yeah,
it's, you know, again,
one just, of the things,
you know,
a lot,
a little bit of Vicks vapor rub before you go in right under your nose. And you know, you like the crime scene cleanup people to use stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. That might do it. All right. So next question, your most hated materials. And that is from Not Watch Knives. And he wanted us to get like really, you know, angry about it and spew hatred and fire and brimstone. But, for the most part, if I don't like a material, I don't use it. It's
same,
you know, it's not that hard. Like I don't particularly care for resin casted corn cob, so I don't use it. It's right. You know, otherwise, you know, I stick to my Micartas for the most part and G10s, and you know, I don't really try to chase fads. Like I don't know, it nothing really yell about to me. You know, I've tried some and didn't like them, and you know, just ended up putting a different handle on that knife mostly.
Yeah, so. I'll tell you what's, well, I don't want to name some of them because I don't want to like point out any specific companies or whatever that maybe make some of the stuff, but it is frustrating when you're using something like handle material or something like that, and you get all the way to the, basically the finished product almost, and then something cracks or delaminates or something like that. That's highly frustrating. There are some materials that are worse than others about that. So, but at least one of them that I can think of off the top of my head would be kind of calling somebody out, and I don't want to. They make a lot of really good products, but there was one particular one that I used that just did not want to cooperate. It kept, I think it's like a kind of, it's cross cut the way it's made. It's like a type of my card, and it's like cross cut.
Yeah.
And so it kept wanting to just break, you know, cause it, when it's cross cut, then it's
all the structural layers are gone.
Right. The pressure on the layers is the wrong way essentially. And they break too easy.
Yeah. I've had that issue with cross cut before, just generic, you know, came out of a factory somewhere, cross cut, you know, stuff. So like, you know,
but that's usually just like one particular, you know, like I said, kind of, I guess cross cut micarta. And I mean, although some of it looks really cool, but it definitely can be frustrating to use.
Yeah.
I've even bone. I don't like as far as the little bit I've ever done with any kind of bone stuff, the smell, like grinding it, drilling it, anything like that. It's just, it's an awful smell. Like it's probably not as bad for you as micarta and G10 and stuff, but the smell just, I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not my thing, which I don't, it's not just the smell that keeps me from using it, but that alone would probably be enough to keep me from using it. So,
Yeah. You tack the smell onto the fact that it likes to peel and crack and wiggle and do all these things. Is just like, no, I'd rather not.
I will say, though, talking about getting angry about it and all that, if you watched me in the shop for a few days, you would probably think I hated every material I work with. And when you see me slinging across the shop because I've messed something up and it's pissed me off. So at any given moment, I might hate titanium. I might hate MagnaCut. I might hate, you know, hardware. It just kind of depends on which one I've screwed up on the most recently. And in that moment, I hate it pretty bad.
I have bared witness to this. I can verify its truth. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You're just over there minding your own business, and all of a sudden things are flying and cuss words are going, and it's exciting. Yeah, it keeps the workplace lively, as it were.
Yeah.
So,
probably not the best for OSHA standards, but
who needs
which
OSHA?
Me not doing now. Nowadays, it's more of that kind of stuff going on with Fusion. Except I have refrained from throwing my computer across the room, at least.
Yeah.
So
that's why I don't turn on Fusion much, because I just reach that stage in a matter of 5 minutes or so.
It
frustrates
me. That's the majority of my days at this point. Most of the guys are doing most of the actual handwork, so it's a whole different kind of frustration. But
you did tell me that you fixed a knife once by throwing it, though, so that was
cool. I did. I had one that was binding up, this is back in the custom days. I had one that was binding up and could not get it to the action to work smooth for whatever reason. And I finally just got really pissed off, and I didn't throw it across the room, but I like slammed it down on the desk and on my workbench. And after I calmed down for a second, I was like, ah, crap. And I picked it up, smooth as butter. And from that point on, like it put, and I've actually intentionally done that a few times since mm-hmm. then. I've had them where I was like, nothing else is working. I'm throwing it down on the workbench.
Yeah.
And it hadn't always worked, but that one time it did. So,
yeah,
you know, something to be said for a hissy fit every now and then.
Yeah. Remember the one time the cat knocked over all the custom parts and
oh my God.
Like, I think it was like 12 knives worth of parts that were already fit together.
And they were all, I think if I remember right, it was all like the little ones. I think they were Tracker Jackers. Yeah, a little bitty like
bees. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was awful. Yeah, when everything was already fit. And like I said, this was in the custom days where everything was totally. Yeah, I don't know that I ever got all those matched up actually right, but I mean, I did stuff that I had to do to fix them and make them work, but man.
Yeah, got them closed.
Yeah, that was and, bad.
You know, yeah.
I did not throw the cat, though, I don't think. I don't remember.
No. I believe I
probably yelled at her pretty loud, but.
I escorted her outside.
That was probably a good call. Probably a good call.
Yeah.
But all right, what else you got for questions before we get too bad into my bad habits here?
Sorry, wasn't trying to put it on you. Last question was from at Tyler Denny Knives on Instagram. He asked if we would ever consider doing a 2-hour show. And you want to take the lead on that one? Or?
Sure. At some point, we'll probably get so deep into and passionate about something that we'll probably end up going close to 2 hours anyway. So, because I can just tell y'all, we've been like, there's some stuff we've been kind of, I'm sure Chase too. I know for a fact I've been holding back on some stuff, trying to, you know, we're going to get into some stuff that kind of, you know, chafes us a little bit and everything's not going to be all rainbows and sunshine the whole time. So when we get up, get fired up on that, it could end up, running a little long, but as far as intentionally doing one, I could see maybe like if we have some kind of special, you know, whatever, special event, special circumstance, we have a guest on at some point or whatever that we want to have a real long conversation with. But as far as just the regular day to day, you know, or week to week, probably not typically just, I mean, because of besides everything else, guys, you got to remember that like we're not podcasters, we're knife makers, like we're making knives, running businesses. So taking 2 hours out every week to do it well, 2 hours plus the time that Chase has to spend editing, that that starts to chip away at our time to actually make money. So we well, for the time being, I foresee us limiting it to an hour or so for the most part. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I mean, that's sort of I was talking to Tyler on Instagram and about it, and that was sort of my answer. It was like, you know, if there's a need for it, I think, you know, we can do that. But as far as like every week, that would be kind of rough to not only carve out the 2 hours of, you know, actual recording, but then also I listen back to every single episode. So that would be
right.
4 hours.
It's double the amount of editing. And yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it would kind of balloon from there, but I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I like longer podcasts in general when I'm listening to podcasts, so I understand the inquisition, you know,
right,
as far as wanting it. But yeah, not sure about it at this particular point is basically.
Hey, I'm just glad people aren't asking us to, you know, like just, dude, shut up, like make it shorter, just stop.
Yeah,
but we'll probably get some of those at some point too, but yeah.
If we do our
job, could definitely talk for 2 hours. There's no doubt about that. Like I said, it's more just a matter of carving out the time and trying to be respectful of each other's time and all the other stuff we've got going on. So amongst everything else, you know, Chase has got a youngin' in the house, and we have a house full of dogs, and including a youngin' in the puppy world.
You got a new puppy.
Yeah. Yep. Brand new, like 9 weeks old, and oh my God.
I've got one of those in my house currently. It's not mine, but I'm puppy sitting for my parents, and they're in Florida somewhere, and they got a puppy a couple of days before Christmas, and then we're like, bye.
So well, that was convenient. Yeah. If she's potty trained when we get back, you know, hey, it'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be real cool. But, you know, baby's having fun playing with the puppy, and I'm having fun playing with the puppy, so I can't
complain. That's cool.
He was a pretty good shop dog today. He mostly just slept, and he came and yelled at me whenever he wanted to go outside. So, you know, I can't complain too much.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did that wrap our questions up?
That's it. That's all I got. All right.
Good deal. And then not flowing quite as well today just because we're trying to basically reproduce for the most part, the podcast from last time. So I'm trying to just basically let you kind of go through the outline for us. I'm not as organic as it normally would be. Yep. But where did that land us next?
Next, I think we'd be talking about what we got going on in the shop.
Okay.
And which is going to be different than last time. So that's.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, yes and no. I think mine's pretty much the same, but go ahead and lay yours out for us.
So I'm finally breaking into that surface grinder that I've been talking about breaking into. I was sending pictures to Jonathan about it earlier. I finally got it apart. Got the spindle bearing off and got, I'm weird. I like to have the broken part in my hand before I order the new part. Like, so
it's actually smart.
I've just kind of been burned too many times about like, oh, okay, yep. I go buy the part. I think it's the problem. I get in there and the part's perfectly fine. So like, you know, I like to have the part in my hand and be like, okay, these are the measurements that it needs to be. I calipered it out, you know, everything. Yep. I didn't just take the model number for, you know, what it was supposed to be, but,
right.
I'm going to go ahead and replace both bearings. And one of the bearings, as I told Jonathan earlier and posted on my Instagram story, was actually had a micarta race in it.
Cool.
I'm guessing that was probably original. If I had
probably,
to guess.
I mean, so give them a little bit of just so that means something to people. Give them the quick little backstory on that grinder.
Okay, this is a surface or no abrasive number 1.5 surface grinder from roughly the 20s, we think.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, when I first researched it, I think that company went out of business in like the late 20s or something like that. Okay. So it pretty much had to be like the 20s or somewhere right in there.
Gotcha. So, and this was the surface grinder that used to be in Jonathan's shop. And it was actually the first thing I ever did as a paid knife employee was surface grind on that machine.
Dues had to be paid on the surface grinder.
Yeah. And it was real stiff that day too. It wasn't wheeling and dealing like it was. So I was getting,
well, that was kind of before we learned how to really lube it up correctly and stuff too. Like, so yeah, it was, yeah, it gave you a workout.
Big old green manual surface grinder that weighs, I don't know, approximately as much as my house from what I can gather.
It's a beast.
It is. It's a beast. I've loved that machine and many times, you know, like in Jonathan's shop, he always mentioned that was his favorite machine and he sort of outgrew it in his, you know, current capacity. So he asked if, you know, I was interested in it and I was,
definitely. I outgrew it and also did not keep up with the maintenance the way I should and let a bearing burn out. So I needed to get rid of it anyway, but then once it was sitting and not working anymore, I definitely didn't need to spend the time to rebuild it when I didn't even need it in the first place. So,
yeah. It was definitely a little bit more labor intensive than the YouTube videos would have led you to believe.
Yeah, I bet.
It was also different than the YouTube videos that I saw. So I don't know if they made two separate models or two separate styles or something like that, but luckily I was able to get it all apart and it's fairly straightforward. You know, it's from the 20s, so there's no like weird fasteners. They made stuff to work on back then. So it was fairly straightforward, but still a lot to get out of there. But yeah,
cool.
So that's what I was doing most of today. I also worked a little bit on some fixed blades and some folders, and I was surface grinding on my surface grinding attachment about an hour ago. So yeah, there's that.
Yep. So that which can go by the wayside once you get the actual surface grinder up and running.
Indeed. Doing them one at a time is really annoying, especially having come from your shop where I could do, you know, depending on the size of the blade, anywhere from, you know, 10 to 15, you know, at a time. And, you know, so doing it all one at a time is really hampered my efficiency.
Not very efficient. It sucks.
I find myself like I'll basically do anything to avoid surface grinding. I started working on the big surface grinder to avoid surface grinding because I hate it so much. So I was just like, hey, let's fix this pony while we're at it.
Yeah.
You know, let's make this easier on myself.
Get it back up and running. It'll definitely, the time will pay for itself because that's, definitely, it's definitely nice to have. It still works great until I burn the bearing out in it. So
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. And now that I've got it apart and, you know, got the parts ordered and all that, I'm very excited. So
very cool.
So what about you? What you got going?
Pretty much the same stuff. We've got we basically have a delay on blades, and this is something we can talk about later as kind of a topic of itself as far as like some of the ins and outs of what all it takes to try to keep a knife company flowing. There's a lot more to it than you would think as far as, you know, because you can't just get everything you want right when you want it, whether it be materials or whether it be having work done, you know, outside, like, you know, whatever shops you have to use for like water jet, heat treat, blade grinding, whatever, which we don't use. That's actually about the only three things we have done anywhere else right now. And you put yourself at other people's mercy and their luck, you know.
Yeah.
Other people have machines go down, other people have problems, other people have other customers to attend to and stuff like that. And everybody that we work with, you know, for the most part does a really good job and really tries to take care of us. But it's just hard to keep everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, we're waiting, which we do have. We did get an update this week. They were supposed to ship us out some blades overnight today, this afternoon. So we should have more drop point blades here, hopefully tomorrow. We're actually off in the shop tomorrow and Wednesday. So Thursday, when everybody gets back, we should be up and running with some new blades. We've been limping along with what tantos and stuff we can make. I'll get more into this on another podcast on like our actual processes and stuff. When we want to dive into that stuff, but
yeah.
Essentially, we can do bevels on the mill, but they end up taking more handwork typically after the fact, and we just can't run them fast enough to keep up with the pace that we're trying to run at, and so we can't do that and stay at the pace that we really want to be at, putting out the number of knives that we're trying to. So, but we've gotten quite a few tantos done. We had knives going out. Actually, I don't know if they went out today. I need to check. They were supposed to. They may not. They may have to go tomorrow. We had knives that were blades that were supposed to go out to heat treat today, and some tantos and some more spear points. We haven't run any spear points in a while, so we got some of those coming up. So anyway, so we should be by the first of next week, basically starting the new year. You know, we should be starting off pretty good with blades coming in, and we've been getting a lot of hand. We've actually gotten a head on handle since we haven't had as many blades. You know, we haven't been able to pump out as many knives. Yeah. So we've tried to keep our handle production up. And so anyway, that's been the big thing. So the guys were basically working on what tantos and stuff we could, trying to make them work, milling the bevels we can on the blades we can. Oh, I actually did start on something new that might be interesting to some of the people out there today that, well, we didn't get too far on it today. We started working on the pallets and stuff on some backspacers for the Gen 2 Mac 2. Mm. So there, because the backspacers on those, you know, the backspacers on the original ones were just smooth on both sides. They just fit in between there.
Yep.
Because the Gen 2s essentially have like the standoffs are shouldered. So there's a portion that fits inside a counter bore on the handle.
Yep.
So to put the backspacers in there, I technically could have put the backspacers in without the shoulders part, but then you lose the whole point of that is to make everything more rigid and kind of more of a precise fit. So I didn't want to lose that when we put a backspacer in there. So I'm trying to work out a way to make the backspacers with the little shoulders on it. So essentially they have like a little short standoff on either side of them, and figuring out how to do that kind of on the machine in mass efficiently and all that has turned out to be a pretty good challenge. I think we've just about got the process figured out. So we got one or two things to figure out tomorrow to try to, well, like I said, we won't be back tomorrow, Thursday. And it's basically the initial holding the material down, trying to not get too complicated and have to put whole clamping system on it and stuff. We're trying to find out a quick and easy way that we can kind of clamp the material down to put the holes in it to actually screw it down to the pallet. Well, that's the thing, you know, you got material, you got a pallet to put it on, but you have to put holes in the material or have a clamping system. And the way we're trying to do it, because it's going to surface the entire surface of the piece of titanium.
Yeah.
So if there were clamps there, it would hit the clamps.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to use counterboard screws to hold it down so that I can work on the entire surface. I can essentially face the entire surface. But getting the holes in there and counterboard to put the screws on there to bolt it down. So you've got to temporarily clamp it to the pallet in some fashion.
Yeah.
If I had a vacuum system, that would probably be the best option, but you got to hold it to the pallet and then you've got to put the holes in it so you can actually bolt it to the pallet and then do all the actual work.
Yeah.
If we can get that step, we tried today, just kind of rednecked it with some clamps and tried to clamp it down and it didn't hold it enough. When we started doing the counterboards, it started trying to wiggle around on us a little bit. So yeah, we gotta find something a little more efficient than that Thursday. But anyway, backspacers are coming for those. I just got to get these last few details worked out on how we're actually making them. So
that's
pretty exciting.
That's one of those things, again, that, you know, a lot of people don't think about, like, as far as, you know, how it's made, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
They don't
just
put it
in. Yeah, just make some backspacers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the way I make backspacers is fairly simple, but, you know.
Well, the way I always have, too. Yeah. When you start adding shoulder, you know, essentially standoffs on either side of them, that's.
Yeah. You're starting.
That's a whole other animal.
Yeah. It definitely.
So it's, it's challenging. And I'm not the best yet at figuring out all the work holding and all that stuff. Like it's a lot to wrap your mind around.
Yeah.
You have to, there's a lot of steps you have to think through and plan to get to the final, you know, cause you can think, oh yeah, I'll put holes in here. I'll cut this out here. You know, I'll do this, but okay, well, what's holding the material while you do that? And then when you cut that out, what's holding it down to keep it from go flying as you cut it out? Like there's all these steps and all these things to think about along the way to plan it out, to make it actually work. It's one thing to be able to model something up, you know, in 3D or whatever and be like, okay, yeah, well, here it is. Well, okay, now figure out how to make it. Like,
yeah,
two completely different things.
Very much so.
Which is the same thing's true for a whole knife, but again, that's another topic for another day. But
yeah,
drawing a knife up that looks cool and has good lines is one thing. Being able to do that and actually figure out how to make it is a whole nother thing, and make it work properly.
Yeah.
So whole nother animal.
For sure.
But
is there anything else you wanted to hit before we wrap up before the end of the year?
I think we'll kind of cut our odds here a little bit. And in case this one goes bad too, we won't waste any more time. So
yeah, hopefully we'll see.
Hopefully this one worked. We'll see. So we may have to end up, if it is on your end, I'm not sure that it is, but on my end, I hope that we're not going to have the same problem. I've been seeing a little bit of like freezing and stuff. So we may have to get you hooked up with Elon and get you some, get you the, what you call it?
Starlink.
Yeah. That's actually what I'm on. That's what we've got on the shop here.
Gotcha.
So, and it typically works great. I say that that may have been my end that was a problem last time, but
yeah, I don't know. I just know it's, you got screwed. That's all I know.
Yep. Yep. But maybe this time it won't do it. We'll see. So we do have, so since this one was, it's kind of like the Christmas and New Year's episode wrapped into one, I guess. So we got New Year's coming up and we're going to maybe, depending on how much time Chase has, we're going to try to get this out before the first of the year, before New Year's Day or whatever. But bear with us. If he doesn't, you'll just have to, you know, just take this all a day later or whatever. But we do hope that everybody has an absolutely fantastic new year. Got really high hopes for what I think the market is going to do going into the new year, which is going to be good for all of us. If the market's booming and good, then that drives people to want to create and innovate and do stuff like that. I mean, when people are just trying to survive because the market's not good, it's just not, you know, that's not the time for a lot of, you just don't see the kind of stuff that you do when the market's really thriving. So we're looking forward to hopefully that happening. So everybody hang in there a little bit longer. And I think it's going to really start to pick up this coming year and swing back the way we want it to. So, but either way, we're going to have a good time and we're going to keep being knife freaks.
Absolutely. So we'll see you next year, knife freaks.
Have a good one.